If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to this program. And it's Wednesday, July the 9th, 2025, in case you were wondering. And I have three gentlemen here, and I use that term lightly, in studio with me to discuss the issues of the day, and they include Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
I'm one of the issues of the day. Listen.
Yes, you are, my friend.
Bring it.
The world centers around Ed, says Ed.
If you don't believe me, just ask me.
And Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Hey there.
Abraham Hamilton III will join us at the bottom of the hour. We've got a big story to talk to him about regarding the IRS, right, Fred?
That is correct. The IRS has had a change of heart when it comes to...
They have a heart.
Well, you ever seen the Grinch? Grinch you stole
yeah,
Christmas?
Yeah, the IRS got one of those.
Anybody's heart can change.
Well, during the Biden years, there was a lawsuit launched against the IRS with regards to the Johnson Amendment that was passed that said churches could not, pastors could not endorse openly political candidates. Well, apparently the IRS has had a change of heart on that front.
Yeah, I think they ruled that they said in their, I think this was almost a verbatim, the Democrats have been doing it for years. Now we're going to let Republicans do it.
I missed that line.
End of quote. That was the IRS director. I think maybe I got that wrong. I don't know.
Abe's going to talk about that. One additional legal issue of importance. We thought we'd bring in the big guns, you know, to talk legal.
Absolutely.
There's the three stellar guys.
No.
Do it.
Well, we can discuss it, but we can't speak authoritatively.
Okay.
Right. We can wing it.
We can.
We can wing it. On law stuff.
On that there law stuff. According to my mom, I gave up a legal my career as a lawyer to go into the ministry.
That's right.
You broke the news to her, right? This is what?
Yes.
40 years ago?
Oh, yeah, probably 45. She would tell people.
Mid 20th century.
She said, my son left his career in law.
When she was introducing you to people?
To introduce me to people.
She would say that.
She would say, my son is in the ministry. He left his career as a lawyer to go into the ministry. And I would say, right then and there, Mom, I was never a lawyer.
Right.
And she said, well, you went to law school.
Right.
And
right.
I said, no, I didn't go to law school. I was pre-law in undergraduate, and then I became a Christian.
Besides, being in law school and being a lawyer means I was on the devil's team.
Yeah.
I switched over to God's team.
That's right.
Huh?
So I still cannot speak authoritatively on the law.
Right. All right. Well, listen, thank you for joining. Wesley, if folks want to join us on their internet, how can they do that?
I would encourage everyone to download our American Family Radio app or AFR app. Also, you can go to AFR.net, and AFR.net, there you can stream and listen to all our radio programs live throughout the day, as well as go back and get our newscast and get any other form of content that we put on our radio that you may have heard earlier in the day or later in the day. Go to AFR.net and also download our AFR app as well.
Fred, what's the first story?
Well, let's first give an update on with regards to the recovery operations that are underway there in Central Texas. Now, various news media are giving slightly different figures, but the death toll, at least according to the AP early this morning, 111 confirmed dead, 170 they are saying still missing. And if, you know, if you look at the images and the video coming out from that area, you can understand why that the search may, to some people, be going slowly. But if you look at the extent of the debris, the trees, the cars, the houses that are just piled up all the way down a very long 40-50 mile stretch of that Guadalupe River. It is, and they have to go very slowly. I mean, the searchers, their lives are in danger if they start moving things and things start to collapse.
Right.
So it's there. Now, Governor Abbott held a news conference yesterday, and he gave out a phone number. I don't have that with me, but he gave out a phone number because it is possible amongst those declared still missing that there are some people who may have been camping along that river. We've been talking about there are many camps. It's a beautiful area. It's possible some people had left the area even before the flooding, but they haven't called in to say, I'm fine. So that's a possibility.
Yeah.
So they're holding out that kind of hope. But Governor Abbott says his team, the recovery people, are going to stay there until they find everybody. The next big event is going to be President Trump and First Lady Melania plan to visit the area on Friday. And already, though, right off the bat, Governor Abbott said the White House made a phone call and said, whatever you guys need to help out with this, we are sending in the federal resources. And that was one of the big things that was coming out of the North Carolina fiasco.
Right.
After the hurricane there, that FEMA was very slow to move. Well, not this time. And also Homeland Security, Kristi Noem has also said, everything that the state needs to help in this recovery is going to be made available. Saw an interview yesterday with Samaritan's Purse, Ed Graham, who heads that, and they're also making resources available right now.
I'm looking at the video footage of this, what we're talking about now. I'm not sure if that's the most recent or not, but it seems to me like the water's still not completely back to the lower levels that it was before the flood. So is that, do you know if that's true or not? If it's gotten back to the...
Oh, it's backed off.
I know it's backed off a lot, but I don't... I wonder
there's probably water. You know, once a river like that overflows, even when it starts to recede, it still leaves water puddled up. And so...
I guess the point I was getting to is that you just got to get back to normal before you can do... I would think before you could clear the area or make sure that you've...
It's receded quite a bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
Here's the... Hey, team, talk about this because it's so hard to talk about. But, I mean, let's face it. You got 161 missing or so.
That's the figure that Fox is giving now.
And I know that, you know, you always want to hold out hope that maybe they're still alive and they haven't been able to contact. But the chances of that, with all these people searching, is almost zero.
Yeah, unless you're talking about situations like Fred mentioned where people were camping and they got out and they're just glad to be, and they don't know they're being counted as missing. But to your point, Tim, I think at this point it's now recovery.
Yes.
It's a body recovery going on.
I'm just
going to
say they're going to find people all down the river.
At 50 or 60 miles, that's a lot of ground to cover. Yeah. Remember we had that one of those initial stories about the girl who was rescued. She was up in a tree.
That's right.
But someone said that was 20 miles downstream from where she was swept
that was
away.
The first story.
Yeah. When I heard that, I thought 20 miles away, that means, again, we're trying to be sensitive here, but there were bodies swept away that kept going. And so they're going to have to go through that entire 50 or 60 mile
even
area.
A boat ride for 20 miles would take forever.
That's what I thought that sounds impossible because you would think you would be injured or killed by going down a raging river for 20 miles without a raft or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? It sounds impossible, but I did read the same story. I was also reading last night there's so much heartache here and tragedy. There was two. I read two stories about two separate sisters. Two stories, but they were separate stories about. One of them was about two twins, mm-hmm. and the other one was about sisters who weren't twins, but they were both
close in age
at the camps.
Yeah,
and they were both killed.
Is that the ones who were holding hands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there was a tragic story last night about a gentleman and his wife who were camping in an RV, and by the time they learned what was going on, the water was about to sweep them away, and he was calling
his kids
to say he loved them, and he didn't think they were going to make it. That's what his exact words were, and they didn't.
I've read that story.
Did you read that story?
I read that, and I think he was there with his girlfriend, I think. She was calling her mom. He was calling his kids.
Right.
They didn't answer. He had to leave that as a message.
Right, yes, that's right.
On voicemail.
That's right.
Very, listen, there's no dress rehearsals for that kind of thing. And that's just terrifying to think about it happening to your loved ones, and heartbreaking to hear about it happening to someone else.
I was just going to say, it killed more people thus far than any previous tornado or hurricane or anything in that area, is what I was reading.
Oh, in Texas?
Yes.
Yep. Well, with everything else, you do get warnings for the most part. A tornado, you get, and they did get a warning here. But the problem was,
yes,
it was in the middle of the night, talking about between 1 and 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, everybody's in bed.
Yeah.
And the counselors didn't have their cell phones. They weren't allowed to have their cell phones.
And neither were the counselors.
Right. Yeah. And most people, they have their I know I do. I don't have my cell phone on in the middle. It's on silent, if it's on at all. But usually it's on silent. No, that's what everybody does. So
that's not calculated. You got to really remember that when you go to criticizing what people could have done differently, is that I don't know if there's anything between 1 and 4 o'clock.
This is a once in 100 years.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I haven't read that anywhere. That's what I'm saying. This is a once in a lifetime tragedy that happened because the rain came down so fast and the river was rising about what was it about? It rose 45 feet, no, 26 feet in 45
minutes. Yeah.
So you're talking about six inches for every minute. Is that right?
That's
approximate.
Just from the videos I've seen, that looks like, and that's insane in terms of if that's accurate,
yeah.
5 or 6
Inches for every minute.
For every minute, you're looking at the water. Just
you're watching it. Right.
Get to the place within minutes where you can't do anything.
Right.
Like filling up a sink. If you cut on a faucet and close it up, and you watch it fill up. That's how fast the river is coming up.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, but still there'll be people who are trying. I've seen some of these lefties saying, "Oh, this is on Elon Musk and Donald Trump because they cut the
that's crazy
weather
weather
people."
Well, there was a couple claims, but that one was the first one, and that one was the first one to be
debunked
because in most cases they actually were overstaffed, so they pulled the trigger without even. They should have looked at that one because they had two more people than was necessary at the time this happened than they needed to do their jobs. Talking about the local weathers.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, we've done stories about the National Education Association, which is the nation's largest teachers union. Well, they've been meeting this week in Portland, Oregon. And one of the decisions they have made is to cut off their very long relationship that they've had with the Anti-Defamation League. The Anti-Defamation League, a large Jewish group, pro-Israel group, they have been providing schools with material about the Holocaust, about Israel, about the history of the Jewish people, etc., etc. Well, they have made the decision, the teachers' union, to cut off relationships with that organization. And it's because they support Israel. This morning on Fox and Friends, the CEO of the organization, the Anti-Defamation League, his name is Jonathan Greenplatt. And he had this to say about that decision from the teachers union. Cut number 9.
And the reality is, it's an organization that clearly has been overtaken by activists. You know, these individuals are there to teach our children in the classroom, you know, the basics of reading and writing and arithmetic, not radicalism. But that's exactly what's happened. We've seen an explosion of anti-Semitism in this country, Charlie, right? Anti-Jewish acts of harassment, vandalism, and violence have skyrocketed. Last year was the worst year we've ever tracked at ADL. And yet somehow these teachers think the answer is to isolate Jewish students, to intimidate other Jewish educators, and to target the oldest organization in the country fighting anti-Semitism.
Okay, this is the, what he's talking about again is the National Education Association in their annual convention. This is the largest teachers union, right?
Correct.
In the country. And they listen, these people, the NEA has always been on the left side of the Democrat Party. I mean, they're a lot of AOCs over there, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's become a metaphor, hasn't she?
Yes.
The three letters AOC. I mean, the NEA, the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, is an organization like the NAACP. If you're familiar with the NAACP, which has been around for a long time, and they represent black folks when injustices, as they perceive them at least, have been done, they speak out, right? The NAACP. You don't hear from them much anymore. But anyway, the ADL is like the NAACP, but for Jewish people.
Yes, okay? Right.
And so they've been considered on the left too. So you have a division among people on the left here, and this is a real problem for the Democrat Party, because traditionally Jewish people, although they are, 1-3% of the American population, something like that. But they've always been real loyal to Democrats,
yeah.
Democratic Party. But now you have a situation where there is a divide in that party, and it's a serious one, as that fellow right there was just talking about. Because I don't know where Jewish people go with their vote and support politically if they have to abandon the Democrat Party, because they've never really identified with the Republicans, so to speak. So some people say this is the reason that the governor of Pennsylvania, Shapiro, what's his first name?
Josh
Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, had Kamala Harris, the vice president, who's the Democrat nominee, selected Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. She would have had a better chance of beating Trump in the general election. Whether she would have or not, who knows, but it would have
probably swung Pennsylvania.
Given him Pennsylvania, which was a big state in a close election, right?
Yeah.
So, the theory is that she didn't choose him because he's a Jew. And right. She would never say that out loud.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the intensity of the war in the Democrat Party and among people on the left is getting heated up. It's an internal war, because the people like the NEA, they're going to say the Jews in Israel are committing genocide against the people in Gaza. And they're going to say, other Jews in America need to condemn that. And if you don't, you're in support of genocide, and we can't have any, quote, fellowship with you. You see what I'm saying here?
Right.
So that's a lot of the energy against Israel is turning into anti-Semitism in the U.S. By people on the far left, and they're at war not with us,
yeah,
not with people on the right necessarily. They're at war with people within their own movement traditionally. Is that, yeah. That's a long-winded answer.
No, listen, and we're going to see something interesting here because I'm looking at an Axios article on this vote at the National Education Association, because this is a divide between, in the Democratic Party, as you're talking about, Tim, between the establishment Democrats and this new enraged radical leftist wing of the party. Okay, this Axios article says that because this vote by NEA delegates, again, this is at their National Education Association at their National Assembly in Portland, Oregon. This article says because it was determined to be a sanction item, it is automatically referred to the NEA Executive Committee. This is according to an NEA spokesperson. So this spokesperson told Axios, therefore, the official action on the proposal is adopted but referred to committee. So this is going to be fascinating because I'm guessing that committee is going to be like the establishment in the Democratic Party trying to calm down their foot soldiers, okay? This is going to be interesting. If this committee gives thumbs up to this vote, it's, to me, going to be an indication that the Democratic Party establishment may eventually crumble and turn officially against Israel and become a pro-Palestinian party. If I was a Jewish person of any political stripe in this country, this vote by the National Education Association, their delegates, this would make chills run up and down my spine, because I would be thinking, this happened in Germany,
yes,
before the Nazis took over and started shoving us into camps. How is this happening in the United States of America? But it shows that this country has split wide open between a radical political worldview and the traditionalists.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think it's related directly to what's going on. They're going to say the Jews in Israel are persecuting the Arabs, Muslims in Gaza. And because of that, you Jews in America need to condemn Israel.
Yeah.
Or else you're for genocide.
Right.
What they call genocide.
Yeah.
So, but what's also interesting here is the National Education Association, I don't know how many members they have, but they still wield a lot of influence in terms of what's taught in schools.
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh. And the ADL supplies information to schools about the Holocaust.
And about anti-Semitism.
Yes.
Teaching kids about anti-Semitism. This is just the latest front in what I see as an education system that has turned on the Jewish people and on Israel.
Yeah.
We saw this being manifested after October 7th, 2023.
Yeah.
Within 2 days. There were anti-Israel protests, Columbia, Harvard, Yale.
Clearly organized and paid for.
Yes, but deep-seated anti-Semitism within our education system.
Yes. Well, because a lot of these college students had already been in classrooms where they were taught,
yes,
to hate Israel and to reckon Israel with the white oppression, mm-hmm, of people of color, even though Jews and Arabs are the same skin color.
Yes.
Okay, but they're part of the oppressive, from a cultural Marxist worldview, they're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let me just say this. Maybe I'm alone here. White's a color. White's a color. Is it a color or not?
I'm just going to be honest. I've never seen an actual white person.
Now, what color are you?
I'm kind of tan.
I've been out in the sun more than you have.
Yeah, you're kind of
all that mode.
I think we should insist that we at least be called pink people.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Or peachy.
Right. The peach. We're peach.
We're peach.
That's what I said. Peachy.
I'm peachy keen.
We're peachy.
Okay.
I've never actually seen a black person.
Right.
Not the color black.
Right, like your shirt.
We're all shades.
That's a good song right there.
It is.
We're all shades.
We're all shades.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn Network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby. You're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. And in just a few moments, we're going to Ed, Fred, and Tim will be quiet, and Wesley will be given 15 minutes to talk about the Jeffrey Epstein story. And we'll just turn Wesley loose on that one.
Yeah.
And we'll get Tony Vitagliano, Ed's son, in here, let him...
Then the rest of y'all could just
ain't
no need
us being in here.
Take the show off.
Yeah. We will talk about that. It is a serious story involving the New York Playboy. I don't know what you was. He was a pedophile.
Yeah.
Right. Talking about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty big story, and we will talk about it. In just a few minutes here on today's issues. But first of all, we have some very good news to report, and joining us to talk about it is Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is general counsel for us here at AFA and heard each afternoon on the Hamilton Corner from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Tell us the good news.
Yeah, so there is a case that's pending in the Eastern District of Texas in the Tyler Division, styled National Religious Broadcasters versus Billy Long in his official capacity as the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. That case takes aim at the Johnson Amendment, specifically saying that it is an unconstitutional incursion upon the free exercise and free speech rights of churches if the IRS continues to threaten revocation of tax-exempt status for churches that would endorse candidates publicly. The interesting turn of events is that the case now has what's called a joint motion for entry of consent judgment, which means that both parties that were opposing one another have agreed to ask the court to grant its consent to the parties' agreement that churches do not run afoul of the law and should not risk their tax-exempt status if they endorse candidates publicly. So that would mean that pastors and churches would be able to endorse candidates for a political office, including the presidency, publicly within their congregations without fear of retribution from the IRS. And again, that would be a consent agreement between the NRB and the rest of the plaintiffs and the IRS. And Billy Long in his official capacity as IRS commissioner. That is a huge, huge, huge deal, because for so long, pastors have been afraid in many instances, or unwilling or reluctant in other instances, to speak publicly about candidates for office out of fear of losing their taxes.
And that's your Al Sharpton. Reverend Al Sharpton.
The Reverend Al Sharpton, yeah. Jamal Bryant, Raphael right. Warnock. Right. I mean, you can go down
Democrats
the whole
have
list.
Been doing this forever.
Yes.
I'm talking about speaking at churches and endorsing candidates. And I don't have a problem with them speaking, it's America, mm-hmm. but it's only the conservative churches that were the ones who were thought to be in violation of the IRS laws.
I should add that the consent order has not been signed yet by the court, but has been proposed by both parties. So that's the IRS admitting in a formal court filing that churches do not violate the law if pastors and their congregations endorse candidates within the regular orders of worship as they speak to their congregants and their parishioners in their local churches.
So does this change the law that's currently on the books, or does this just clarify?
It doesn't change anything about the law that's on the books. I've long said and really advised people that churches did not have to formally register for 501c3 protection, because that was a ruse promulgated by Lyndon B. Johnson to get churches to be silent on political issues. So it doesn't change the law, but it clarifies formally what the law is, and that is that pastors and churches do not violate the law and do not jeopardize their tax exempt status by advising their congregants on all manners of life, doctrine, and public engagement, including the moral and religious implications of electoral politics.
You know what? I've been in obviously conservative churches for a long time, and from time to time politics does come up and government and what the Christian's responsibility is. But And this is not necessarily because of fear or repercussions from the IRS, but I think the most churches and pastors, they don't want to get involved in endorsing particular mm-hmm. candidates. That's just not the role of the church. But they do, that is, churches and pastors, I think, have an obligation when it is election time for a governor or a president or to say, okay, here are the party platforms, now here's the things that the candidates themselves say they believe in, and maybe take, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate to bring up, but rarely, I've never heard somebody say, hey, Pastor so-and-so says, hey, I'm endorsing John Doe over here for governor.
I would just say, I was in the pastorate for many years. If I was a pastor and this Internal Revenue Service, this IRS...
You've never heard of it?
Well, no.
You're like you've never heard of it.
If this change had happened while I was pastoring,
right.
This is my personal opinion, according to my conscience, I would still not endorse individual candidates. I like what you said. I have and always did talk about issues. I might lay out the party platforms.
Right, something like that.
Something like that.
Say the differences.
Here's the reason why I would not personally, and people, and I'm sure there are pastors who disagree with me, but that's fine.
I may disagree with you.
Okay. Yeah. Is that, to me, the pulpit is meant to endorse Jesus.
Well, I wouldn't.
And
hold on, Wes.
And if I endorsed, if I used that pulpit to endorse another human being, and that person turned and, fell away from the faith became adulterous or whatever,
right.
Then I have, in my opinion, I have squandered the influence of the pulpit. So, all right, Wesley, we already have somebody here who disagrees with me. So,
well, let's not we could do that, but let's just focus on the point that this is a win because it gives the people,
amen.
It gives people freedom,
right.
to endorse. And it's more than just political candidates, it's also school boards, directors. It's,
right.
There's more, it's a bigger picture than that one particular instance, which, by the way. In that one particular instance, I may agree with you more than I disagree with you, because from the pulpit, I agree. But then personally, what you have to decide if a person physically leaves a pulpit, goes home, and gets on his social media account.
No, absolutely.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Right.
But I do agree. I'm tracking with you a little bit. But go ahead, Fred.
No, I just had a question for Abe, clarification. Abe, you said this applies to pastors, to churches. But does it apply to all 501c3 nonprofits?
No, it does not. That was an express limitation in the order that it's limited to churches in their regular worship services and their regular orders of communication to their own congregants, not to the more broad context of nonprofit organizations that are 501c3 organizations.
Is the Johnson Amendment what created the 501c3 status? So, in other words, if it was repealed at some point, mm-hmm. would there be no more 501c3 status?
Ultimately, it could if it was ultimately repealed, but this is not a repealing of the Johnson Amendment. Right. It is expressing what I would argue is a more constitutional understanding of it as it applies to churches.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about the good news yesterday. You said this was a announcement by the IRS. This wasn't a court.
So the IRS filed in open court a joint motion along with NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, and the other plaintiffs, their consent to this understanding of the Johnson Amendment.
Okay. But they could change their minds?
No. Once this is
it's like granted, a settlement, isn't it? Am I right?
Yeah, basically it's a settlement in a case. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yes. You're welcome. My legal.
Yes. So you came through for us.
Well, I just like the fact that a guy named Billy Long is now in charge of the Internal Revenue Service, because I've been waiting a long time
for a Billy Long.
Someone named Billy.
Well, for a Billy, I played against him in church league softball, and I knew he was going places. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he could evermore hit the ball. You know, I said, one day, my friend Billy Long, listen to me. One day, you're going to be the leader of a three-letter agency.
All right. Well, I got an important question.
And here he is.
You said he could sure enough hit the ball.
Yes, he could.
Did he actually go to your church, or did you draft him?
He did go to my church during softball season. And we all know how that works.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That's why I was asking.
About March, we have some
church league free agency. Yeah.
We got the NIL.
You got the NIL. Yeah. Wesley beat me to the punch. You got the NIL going on.
From your tithes.
From a
free agency.
I always like the guy who, when the industrial league's going on, he's playing for Budweiser.
Yes.
And then when church league starts, he just switches over to First Baptist.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, the best one, and I won't bore you with all the details, but I was playing a church league basketball. It was a group of guys in the same boat we're talking about here, and they didn't have matching shirts, okay? They didn't even have matching jerseys. But if you go to sort of figure out who you're playing, you go to the schedule.
Yeah.
And you look, and it was third non-denominational.
Third?
That was the name of the church?
Yes.
Third, they were just wanting to pick up on church guys.
For sure. But that's where
they weren't even a real church. No, they probably didn't even comply with IRS.
No, it does.
So, anyway.
Third non-denominational.
Okay. Well, listen, Abe, that's some very good news, and we appreciate you sharing it with us. Anything else you wanted to ask him about, Fred?
Yeah, there are a couple of really nice guys by the name of John Brennan and James Comey are now the subject of a federal investigation.
Yes.
They're not playing on my church league team. I'll tell you that right now. Now
I'll tell you, there's a lot of winning going on. Yeah. This is one of the ones I was referring to.
Now, Mr. Brennan used to be the former CIA director, and James Comey used to direct the FBI. There are allegations that maybe they were into dirty tricks against Donald Trump during his first administration.
No.
Let's talk about Russiagate. What do you think, Abe?
Let's relive that.
I think water is wet. No, I'm just kidding. it's amazing because you have evidence now that the CIA has come out and said that John Brennan was in particular the major player from the intelligence community working behind the scenes to include the Steele dossier into what eventually became the Russia hoax, the Russiagate investigation, even though John Brennan testified before Congress in 2023 that he opposed the Steele dossier's utilization in Russiagate, that at a minimum indicates that he potentially could have perjured himself under oath, if not worse. So he has been formally referred to the Department of Justice for criminal investigation. And also, my non-frame it, James Comey the Clown, has also been referred to Department of Justice criminal investigation. However, the DOJ has not stated publicly the basis of the criminal inquiry, but they just have confirmed that he is being investigated for potential criminal prosecution.
Do you think the Brennan investigation has legs? I mean, you think this is a real thing where he could, if found guilty, could go to prison?
I do, because at a minimum, he has publicly perjured himself if the evidence is substantiated, because the CIA has come forward, whistleblowers in the CIA have come forward providing evidence that directly contradicts what he testified to publicly in 2023 before the House committee. So at a minimum, it could be perjury, if not more. So
John Brennan, then the CIA director, right?
Right.
Yes.
For Obama, right?
That's right. That's right.
Or for Biden? Which one?
Obama. He was Obama's CIA director.
But he's the one. Was he in the Biden administration too, though?
I believe he was.
I don't know what the formal capacity was. I don't have to look that up. But
okay.
I know
well,
sure
anyway,
CIA director.
He was the John Brennan. He was the one. He was one of the ones who instigated the. Remember the all these specialists and experts involved.
The letter from 51 intelligence
saying that the Hunter Biden story was fake and was Russian disinformation. Remember that?
Yes, he was very much part of that as well.
Yes, he was very much. He was very hyper-partisan and talking about Brennan and his John Brennan. But anyway, we'll see what happens here. Fred?
I just had a quick question, Abe. Is it possible that if the investigation proceeds, that we could see a friend of these two gentlemen, Hillary Clinton, hauled in by subpoena and put under oath? Because many people think her hands are as dirty as the other two.
And you can count me in that many other people category. This is where you have possibility versus likelihood. So it is possible, but concerning the likelihood, I can't really say how likely it is, depending on what evidence is uncovered in the formal investigation of the two who have already been announced.
Mm.
So it is very possible, but the likelihood I just can't speak to at this juncture.
Yeah. On that Steele dossier, John Brennan, then the CIA director, was told, was told by multiple, at least two of his top aides, that this was not substantiated.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
And unprovable, and shouldn't be entered into any kind of official record. And he said, I don't care. I'm telling you, he didn't say I don't care, but his action said, I don't care. I'm going to enter it anyway. That's what happened there, right?
Yes, that is a part of the query. And then he comes around and lies about it and said that he opposed it and was against its utilization. You're right. There are high level intelligence officials who lobbied him specifically to say you should not include that in any form or anything because it doesn't bear the markers of anything having credibility.
All right. You got five more minutes, Abe?
Yes.
All right. Well, you're going to wish you didn't.
I don't have.
All right. You said it. Now, if you got it, if your dog starts barking or whatever, somebody at the door, you let me know.
I think I know what's coming, Abe.
Jeffrey Epstein. What do you think about that? There you go. Handle that one. Pam Bondi.
Go ahead. Talk about that. I did say this on the Hamilton Corner. I said one of the biggest issues is both Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, before they were FBI members of the FBI, they stated their concern about Jeffrey Epstein, that he didn't kill himself, things of that nature. They've now reversed course. Pam Bondi, upon taking office, literally came out and said, I have the Epstein client list on my desk. She said that publicly on television. I played the clip on my show. And then for the DOJ now to have a memo saying that the Epstein client list doesn't exist,
all right,
it provokes a question. Was she lying then? Or is she lying now?
Okay,
what happened?
Sorry to interrupt, but President Trump commented on this yesterday in the presence of Pam Bondi. And
she commented, too.
Here's what they had to say about it.
That's cut number six.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep?
In February, I did an interview on Fox, and it's been getting a lot of attention because I was asked a question about the client list, and my response was, it's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file, along with the JFK, MLK files as well. That's what I meant by that.
Okay. This is called a spin room right there.
I'm from New Orleans. And I've seen crawfish a few times in my life.
You know what? I hate this because I like all these people. We're all supportive of the job they're doing otherwise, talking about, for the most part, President Trump and Pam Bondi as AG and Cash Patel as FBI director. But it just sounds like to me they're this is what a lot of people are thinking. I'll just say that. I'll do like President Trump and say, you know, people are saying.
Yes.
I'll just put it that way.
Some are saying, yeah.
Some are saying that there's a cover-up here, and now the Trump administration is part of it. And you said this morning at one of our meetings, Ed, that there may be –
you said,
now, you're just speculating.
Yes.
I'll just say this. But everybody's speculating because it sounds like Pam Bondi had information that now they don't want to share, they being President Trump and his administration. Maybe for a good reason. I don't know. President Trump says, why are we even talking about this anymore? And he should know better. He knows why people are still talking about this.
Yes.
Because this, among MAGA supporters, this is like the number one story.
Yes.
So go ahead and talk about
it. Well, listen. If you know anything about, I'm just going to be as brief as I can. And I'm not accusing anybody, and I'm not making – I am saying that if you've done any study at all, the CIA is a dirty business, what they do. It's a dirty business.
You don't want to know how the sausage is made.
You don't want to know how the sausage is made. The United States of America has done a lot of underhanded stuff, okay? So there are a lot of Americans who understand that. They understand that you got to do some of that because the other side's doing it too. Okay? So I'm looking at someone like Jeffrey Epstein, who, as far as I've read, was not well known as an investor. You know, he was not a guy who was known for being a billionaire because of all the money he's made with smart investments. He got his money to live his lifestyle somewhere. And so the speculation on the street,
right.
And Bob, I'm all about
people
the
street. Are saying.
The speculation is that the CIA and maybe even the Mossad, that's the intelligence agency of Israel, paid and kept Epstein afloat and paid for his lifestyle so that people could come, well-known people could come to his island and traffic in young women, and then the CIA has them. They have video, they have proof, and then if you need to apply a twisting of the arm to get something done, you have evidence to do that.
It's like blackmail.
It's like blackmail.
It sounds like a movie.
It does sound like a movie.
It's a firm.
And Christians, I also said this morning, Christians need to tell the truth. We need to speak the truth about what we know is true. I don't know that that's a fact, but I do know that the CIA does stuff like that. And all this stuff about disappearing files. Pam Bondi was saying she has the Epstein client list on her desk. I don't care what else. Like Abe said, that's crawfishing. You say that then, and now you're saying, well, I wasn't really talking about the client list. Everybody's suspicious about Epstein. Did he kill himself? There's a minute missing on the videotape. I'm telling you, this stinks to high heaven, and this is not a good look for President Trump to act like asking the questions that everyone is thinking is somehow disrespectful to what's going on in Texas. Well, I got news for the president and everybody else who's saying that. The American people can think about two things at the same time.
All right, now help remind me of the details here, but this is the second time, if I remember correctly, that they've let us down on this issue because they also said they were going to release a packet, didn't they? And then they released it, and it was pretty much nothing in there on this issue. This
they had a whole event at the White House.
That's what it was. Yep, yep.
And a bunch of influencers and podcasters and conservative commentators went to Washington for the event to receive the binders that were distributed.
The binders,
only for them to get to nothing. Where they could actually read what was in it, and nothing was in it.
And that it was stuff that everyone already knew.
It was stuff that everybody knew, I should say. It was nothing additional than the things that were already in the public discourse.
Nobody's going to stop talking about this.
And it wasn't, and that was considering the fact, the big of a deal that they made it. They made a whole afternoon out of it.
Yeah. Look, people are horrified about what went on down at that island. And if you're Joe Blow in Philadelphia and you get caught trafficking young girls, you go into prison for the rest of your life. And the thought that just because there are big shots, just because there's some big shot in Parliament or in the royal family or with all these accusations going around, just because you're a big shot, you get away with it, and the American government is going to cover up for you. That's what people are thinking, and that makes people furious.
I still don't think he killed himself. I still think he killed himself.
You do or don't?
You think Epstein committed suicide?
Yes. No, I'm sorry, the other way around. Yeah, somebody helped him commit suicide. Yeah.
Right. I guess we give you the last word here. People are not going to stop talking about this just because President Trump said, hey, move on to something else.
Mm-mm.
This
the way he said it made it worse.
Absolutely. Yeah. This sticks in the craw of average Americans who don't like this kind of perversion and corruption and think the government might be covering it up.
I think somebody could describe a MAGA.
This whole thing.
Well, a lot of people voted for President Trump to end the two-tier justice system.
Yes.
This goes in the opposite direction of
y'all,
that.
I don't want to hear anymore because y'all are causing me to lose my faith in my government and in humanity in general. And I don't need that today.
Not today.
Okay. All right, how about tomorrow?
Because today's
it'll be around.
Today's hump day. Can you wait till Monday to dump some?
Oh, I could. I sure. Just Mondays are pretty terrible around here.
I tell you what, somebody's going to make a movie on this. Well, they might be.
Tim, you were right. I want my 5 minutes back.
Okay. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.